Welcome back after the week of testing. And remember, the book of James says, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into divers kind of tests. So when you get the quiz tonight, remember that. Okay, so let's open up in prayer. And then we want to move quickly so we have time to do things, okay? Father, thank you for you. Thank you for your love. I thank you for this day. I thank you again for the opportunity to serve you and to study your languages that you have used to codify your truth to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn. I thank you for each of the individuals who have come and who desired to learn. Lord, I pray that you will bless them and pray that you open up their hearts and their minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you all did extremely well on the test. I was very pleased. The class average is clearly well into the 90s.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. That's true. No, it's not just Steve. No, honestly, though. Everybody right now has an A. Aww. Everybody has an A. Okay? That's your mom's. That's yours. That's yours, Christopher. Okay, and this one's your mom's. Okay? All right. Mr. Steve. Except for Ben. Ben Parsons averages an A, so. Don's. And then my guys already have theirs.
What did I do with that sheet you gave me?
In fact, I don't know whether I should tell you this or not. Some may enjoy hearing this and some may not. The average test score, you ready for this? Was 100.0. True.
Because Mama got 100.
Don't say what Mama got. Some helped. Some helped bring it up that far, and some helped bring it down that far. So, anyways, everybody has their part. This is what 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, isn't it? Everybody in the body plays their part. So we won't say which ones help on which end. Okay, if you choose to. Do that yourself, that's up to you. All right, let's do a review here since we had a couple that weren't here. Lesson 8, we're going to try to do this quickly. This week's homework will be notched up, so I'm kind of getting you prepared for that when you see that, and you're going to have a collective groan. But I've stated that after that first test, things start to ramp up a little bit now because... you know, now we're starting to move. We have all the not all the tools, but all the basic tools that we need to really translate. And so now the fun begins, okay? So you thought it was fun before. Now it really comes fun. I can't wait to see what this sounds like on the tape, me moving it like that. Okay, so there were only 5 words in the vocabulary. However, like I said, that really represented a whole lot more, okay, because of the paradigms. But the paradigms are really extensions of, if you know the noun endings and you know the adjective endings, then that should really help you with the others. It should work. Okay, so we have autos, and that was the third person pronoun. We had sou. That was the second person pronoun, and ego, that was the first person pronoun. And those are, again, in the chapter. Then we had ami, which is the verb I am, okay? And then we had the conjunction de. And if you remember, I said that a good translation of de is now. If the context tells you that it should be and or but, go for that. But you do have kai for and, which joins two like things. And you do have Allah, which is for but, which does contractions. De, a lot of times, is...
We have what?
Allah.
Do we learn that?
I'm not sure whether you had it yet or not. Okay. Anyways, so you will. And so, de, joint, many times, is used to indicate a new subject, okay, a new thought process. But it is still a conjunction from the perspective that it is joining... paragraphs and those kind of things together, okay? So you will see it translated as and many times. But I think if you really read it and read the context, you'll understand that concept of now. Just starting, now we went to the store, da-da-da-da, you know. Not, and we went to the store. Many times in English we translate things that way, but that's really more of a run-on sentence concept. Does that make sense? And Paul has enough run-on sentences that it's nice to put something in there that indicates that it's not a run-on. Okay, so we did that, and we saw that debt is post-positive, okay, which means that it stands second in a sentence, okay? It will never be the first word. It can stand between the article and the noun, okay? That can really throw you off. But if you just know it, debt is a two-letter word. It's not a big deal. It's gonna be the second word. And so the first thing you do is when you see it there, you say, ah, debt, post-positive. Okay, so does the first word and the third word go together? Yeah, it does. Okay, good. And you just go on, okay?
So it's always the second word.
Always the second word. So if you see it in the middle of a sentence, that should tell you what?
That there's two
phrases. Two phrases. Two sub-phrases going on. That's right.
It says in the book that it's usually the second.
It is going to be an extremely rare circumstance, Christopher, that you find that it's not. Okay? So just have it in your brain that it is. That's going to be the easiest thing for you, okay? And then when you see that there's exceptions, then you go from there, okay? It's easier to have that and just know that I may find an exception, but hammer the post-positive first thing, okay? Enclitics, okay? Remember we talked about the enclitics, post being similar to the post-clitics. The idea is that the enclitic goes so closely with the preceding word to not have no accent, so that it doesn't have an accent of its own, whereas the proclitic went with the following word, so it didn't have an accent of its own. Okay, basically then, what's the concept? It doesn't have its own accent. Okay, so the enclitic goes with the previous word, the proclitic goes with the following word. Okay, now it kind of makes sense if you think about it from this perspective. N sounds like end. So it's at the end of the other word, so it's following it. And pro means it's for it or before it. So it goes before it. Okay? So anyways, I hope that helps you. So anyways, so it doesn't have when you boil down to it, that means what? It doesn't have its own accent. Okay, good.
You're not gonna make us memorize all those rules?
Well, you may have to know it. I went over it. So, anyways, and so we dealt with pronouns, and in the pronouns we saw that pronouns go with the nouns, with the with what, the number, and the
gender.
Okay, so when you go to the third person pronoun, and you have the masculine altos, it's pointing back to a masculine antecedent, right? If you have a feminine, alte, it's pointing back to a feminine antecedent. So you wouldn't have alte pointing back to anthropos. Make sense? Okay? Because you would say, no, wait a second. Anthropos is masculine, alte is feminine. There must be something else there that it's pointing back to. Does it make sense? Okay? Okay. As well, I wouldn't use the first person pronoun or the second person pronoun to point back. I'd only use the third person pronoun. Okay, so that's very important when we do pronouns. Okay, we talked about the ego and me. Bless you. We talked about ego and me a little bit. That is the one that is used by Jesus. Oh, and I didn't get to tell Steve. Steve, it is. What was it, Don? Luke? It was the book of Luke?
I thought it was Mark. I don't remember.
No, I thought we looked up Mark last week, and it wasn't Mark.
It was Matthew.
Matthew, okay. So anyways, it was another one. It does say ego in me. Jesus does say, I am. Yeah.
Is it all one word then, or is it?
No, ego in me. The idea is, I am, is, in what we're going to see, you're going to, I looked ahead and saw in lesson 9, we are going to talk about that concept of how I can bring in the intensification of it. I even I am, okay? And so ego me could mean I am, or predominantly it would mean I am, you know, if Jesus wanted to say, I am the I am, he would say, ego eimi. Okay? So they would, and they did. In John 8, at the end, when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, and how it's translated that way, and they have it all capitalized and everything, it says, before Abraham was, ego eimi. But that's not the only time that Jesus says that. There are three or four times in John 8 that he says that. He says, unless you believe, ego eimi, you're going to die in your sins. That's pretty impressive. In other words, unless you believe I am, unless you believe that he's Yahweh, unless you believe that he's God, you're going to die in your sins. So that ego eimi is a special thing. You know, again, because there's Hebraic thought process that you can't say, there is no term for Yahweh. And so many times the word kyrios is used as well for Yahweh.
Was that John 8?
John 8. Yeah, and I think it's verse 24. I didn't bring my Bible. But it's, I think it's verse 24.
That's an unusual construction that you wouldn't expect anybody to say that.
What's that now? Ego eimi?
Ego eimi.
Again, it could be used as an intensive. It could be used as a very expressive, but that's exactly right. There was a reason why he was at that moment saying, ego eimi, ego eimi. And actually, honestly, Jesus probably didn't say ego eimi. He probably spoke Aramaic. And so John chose to use it as he translated to that extent. I think so, right. I think he was defining what Jesus was stating, that Jesus was using the name. And, you know, and that's, Jesus was given the name that is above all names. So, and, you know, and that's not to necessarily belittle the name Jesus, because Jesus is important, but I think Jesus was given the name Yahweh, Yahweh's name. All right, that's an offhand. We've got a lot to do, so I want to keep moving on here. So anyways, in those pronouns, the first-person pronouns as well, where you have the emu or mu, emoi or moi, emet or meh, the putting the epsilon in front is to when you want to have emphasis put on it. And so you leave the epsilon, the initial epsilon, off if it's just unemphatic. Okay, that's the difference between the two of those as well. All right. And so then we had the Amy chart as well. The Amy A. Esten, Esmen, Esta, Asen.
What? Where are you?
Paragraph 98. I was just flying through the Amy paradigm.
Okay.
Go ahead. Wait, Marsh, go ahead.
These don't follow any of the endings that we already know, do they? These are totally first and second person?
Somewhat. I mean, because you have the U for the second one. And so they're similar. But no, the primarily, they seem to have their own at this point for you, okay? And but they go together. You can see that they are very similar between first person and second person. And so you can pretty much memorize the one, and they apply to both. But the third person does basically have the endings of the noun. Mm-hmm. Brooke?
In the Emi paradigm, third person, is that a long yoke?
Does it
go fast
I don't know. Sorry.
So are you pronouncing it short?
I'm sure. Esten?
So we're going to say the noun you just consider it there?
You can, either way, it's Esta, but the movable new is there, so.
So you say it so you remember it?
Yeah, however you want to do it, it doesn't matter.
I looked it up in Strong's.
What?
Those words.
What words?
The personal pronouns.
Okay.
And it was I, me, I, SD, Esten, Esmen, Este, I seen.
You're losing me.
This is the I am paradigm. Mm-hmm.
That was the pronunciation given?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
here are the numbers.
Okay.
This was their pronunciation.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine. It's, you've got to use some standard. That's why I said way back in the beginning. Okay, like when Brooke and Christopher were saying that in the book that they have, that it has different interpretations, different, okay? And so you have to use some standard, okay? We're using Matians. We're using Matians. A. Epsilon Yoda is A. So like in way, neighbor and way.
So it's Amy.
Yeah.
Like in the words rain and vain.
Right. Right, so that's the concept. So you will find as you go out there a bunch of variations of how things are spoken. One of the things is, think about it, this is a language from when?
2,000 years ago.
So there's nobody left that really can tell us how it was exactly spoken. So, and again, if you, a lot of it is based upon educational guesses, you know, by linguists. And so, but if you go to modern Greeks today, they'll say things different. You know, like kurios, it's kyrios. You know, in chi is ki. And so, anyways, just flow with it. That's why I said that for the object of this class, we have to speak it a little bit to try to have some fluency based, but honestly, when you go out there and you're using it, the primary use that you're going to have, or the goal that I have in teaching it, is to translate. That's primarily it, you know. And so the debates on how things are pronounced and that kind of stuff, that's for
somebody else.
Yeah, exactly right. That's for the Greek scholars to have fun with. Okay. Let's go through the homework real quick as well. Now, we are past the first test, okay? And so, I am going to bestow some trust here so that we can move forward because, again, I don't want to be taking so much time up doing some of the administrative things. So, coming into the homework, I'm just going to ask you straight up, okay, what do you got? And so, just give me a real quick down and dirty, you know, yep, nope, you know, half, 75%, whatever, okay, and just fly on. So, Marsh?
Got it all.
Okay. Timmy?
Got it all.
Okay, Steve?
All.
Okay.
I'm short on some of the parsing.
No, you didn't have to parse.
Oh, okay.
So, you got it all? Okay, Christopher?
I'm on number 5.
Okay, and there was a total of 8, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good to go. All right, so we're going to do that from now on. It's an honor system, okay? Don't have me catch you cheating because then it really goes bad, okay?
I'm on number 5,
the service. Oh, okay. Okay, good. Thank you for being honest. I'll keep, since it was my misinterpretation, I'll keep it where I have it. How's that? Is that fair? Okay. When I mess up, it's on me. When you mess up, it's all over you. Okay. So, but yeah. Okay. So you guys had to do the odd ones from 1 to 15. Okay. So in what this is gonna be probably one of the last weeks that we're gonna do every single one of them. Okay. What I need you to do. For example, next week you have you got a lot more homework next week, okay? What I need you to do as you go through it is you need to mark ones that you want to necessarily go over. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So if we have time, we'll do as many as we can, but I want to make sure that we go over the ones that you all have consternation and questions with. If it happens to be all of them, then we will stay after class or whatever it takes, okay? But clearly, we don't have time in class to do everything all the time. If you have an hour plus of homework to do at home, we don't have that hour plus to do it again here. Okay? All right. So, number one, hoi methetai su gnoskousi tain basileian kai agusitus adelphus aton ace altain. Okay? So, we have hoi methetai. We know that's nominative, plural. The disciples, okay? So clearly that's the subject of the sentence. And then we have su. Su is a new word. That's the second person pronoun.
Genitive.
That's exactly right. Good, okay. So the disciples of you, or better in English, would be?
Your disciples.
Your disciples, okay? Your disciples, and then genuskousi, they know. Mm-hmm. So that applies back to the disciples. So your disciples know, tein basileion, the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Kai, okay? And so we know kai joins like things. And clearly we have immediately agousi, which is parallel then to genuskousi, right? So we have parallel verbs. That's what kai is joining. Kai is joining like verbs then. Agousi is, and they lead, not and, but they lead. Tous adelphus, the brothers of them, okay, because it's plural, of them, into it, into her, is really into her, right? Well, into her, that doesn't make sense. And remember, we said since it's feminine, it points back to the antecedent, which is feminine, which is basileion, so it's the kingdom. So the disciples, your disciples know the kingdom, and they lead their brothers into it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. They are leading?
That's fine, yeah. They are, or they're leading, you know. I think you do that each time. So it's okay.
I like it.
No, no, that's okay. Right, so however...
Today.
The present, however you want to translate the present tense is cool. So you either do it as a continuing action or just happening right now.
Did you say their brothers?
Mm-hmm. Their brothers.
Atone.
A-T-I-R. Atone is plural.
Oh, so you're...
The brothers of them.
Brothers of them.
Right, so they're brothers.
Okay.
Better English than saying the of all the time. Okay? Three. Age me ha kyrios pros tous methetas atu. Age he, she, or it leads. Okay? Me. This is an easy one because it looks just like English, right? Me. Okay? So he, she, or it leads me. Ha kyrios is the Lord. Ah, that's nominative. So now I know that he, she, or it really is he because it's the Lord. So the Lord leads me. Okay, pros?
Two.
Okay. Tous methetas?
Disciples
of him.
The disciples of him. So the Lord leads me to the disciples of him, or his disciples. Okay. Five. Diasu age ha theos tous pistus ace tain basileion atu kai di, whatever you want to say, aton tous elus. Okay. Dia with the genitive. Through, good, okay, and the genitive is su, meaning of you, so through you, ege, ha theos is the nominative, so it's God leads, so God leads, tus pistus, the faithful ones, or the faithful, right, into the kingdom of his kingdom, so through you, God leads the faithful into his kingdom, and de auton. What's the di? Remember we talked about that? Di? Di?
Yeah.
No. It's dia. Okay? It's just the alpha drops off because it's with the... So that's not de. That's not delta epsilon. That's delta yoda. The alpha drops off. I thought you said now.
Well, I did put now there.
Okay. Right. So it's through again.
Okay.
And through atone, that's plural, and through them, tus alus, the others. Okay, so through you, God leads the faithful into his kingdom, and through them, okay, through those, however you want to put that at the moment, the others. Now, what does the second part of the sentence mean? Who's the them or those?
I thought it was on account.
He leads through them, he leads the others, to make it clear in English?
You can. That's your choice. However, it's not literal.
That would be one of the...
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah, see? That's exactly right. Now you all send your bracket because you try to bring things in. Say again?
If it was translated that way...
Atone is not accusative. It's genitive plural.
No, dia.
It's dia with the genitive.
True.
Atone. Yeah. Atone is genitive. Right. Genitive plural. Where are we at?
Tus
alus,
though, is not what D is with. D is with the genitive.
Right.
diaton.
Through them.
So word order makes a difference. Yeah.
It does make a difference there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, preposition. Remember, we said preposition is going to stand with the word. Yeah. But that is good thought process that you did that. So it's through them, the others. And so, yes. So if you'd like to put in brackets to make it clear, you can do that. But because that's exactly right. So it's through the faithful, he's leading others into the kingdom. So it's that kind of process happening, going on. Okay, good. All right, number 7, ego emi, doulos. Okay, ego emi doulos. Doulos, sorry. Ego emi doulos, sou de apostolos. Okay, so ego emi is I, even I am. And then doulos, a servant. Okay, and this is one thing we didn't talk about, but this takes the what?
It takes a predicate nominative.
Predicate nominative. That's right. Okay, and so this though it's a nominative, it's not the subject. It's an equative. Is kind of the idea that it takes. Okay, so that's the idea of that predicate again, the predicate nominative. Okay, so I am a servant. Okay, you. Then we have the de, which is postpositive, and so that's either and or but, potentially now, but in this case it would be and or but. Okay. You are an apostle, okay? So you can put, if you think that's a contrasting thought, that the person's trying to state, I'm just a servant, but you're an apostle, then you put but. If you think it's just a statement of explanation of both of us, you know, I'm a servant and you're an apostle. Make sense? So do you see at this moment how you... Really, to the person reading in English, you bring a color to it. That's exactly right. Because you can make the person talking seem like, well, I'm a servant.
I'm just a servant. But you're an apostle.
You're an apostle. Did you do that phone?
Yes, I did.
Wow. You should have showed that yesterday. It's part of show and tell. That would have been kind of exciting. right. So anyways, kind of fun.
Okay, but that second R, you're putting in there just like up here you could have put lead in.
That's exactly right.
That's understood. That's literally it says, I am a servant, but you, an apostle.
That's exactly right, but you, an apostle. That's exactly right. Okay? Good. Say again.
I have it in parentheses.
I didn't notice I had done that.
Yeah.
I didn't do that R in there.
I did too. But see, that's more in the equative. Sometimes with the equative like that, you just do that. When you have the equative like that. You just throw the R is in there.
Well, that's got the ego me in there. Would you say I am a servant?
You can, because there's a reason why it's stating in there. It's emphasizing the fact that what?
I'm a servant.
You know, but it stated that way because he's not really saying I'm only a servant. If he really, in my mind, if it was really down on himself, he could. There's ways to down himself on that one. I'm a servant. You know?
I thought he was elevating himself.
As a servant, yeah.
And
you're an apostle. Good. Yeah.
So, I am a bondservant.
I'm a bondservant of Christ.
You, an apostle.
Right.
You're sent.
You're only a messenger. That's, yeah. You're just a messenger. But I'm a bondservant. I chose this position.
I'm a real bondservant. Yeah. You're faking it.
Yeah, there you go. See? Isn't it amazing? I mean, how you can take the sentence and just kind of... So context. That's why I always say context is so key. To get the flair. Okay, 9. Methi tai, esta tu kiriu, kai adelphoi ton apostolon autu. So, methi tai is disciples. Mm-hmm. Este.
You are.
You singular, you plural?
Plural.
You
plural.
Y'all. Okay, y'all are tu kiriu of the Lord. Okay, and then we have a kai, so that means it's joining something. That means I've got to do something now with methi tai, esta tu kiriu. So, disciples is nominative, right? Mm-hmm. So disciples, y'all are of the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Could you say you disciples are of the Lord?
You could, but I would translate it as y'all are disciples of the Lord. Again, because it takes the predicate nominative. And so the you is really the subject, the methi tai is the predicate nominative. So y'all are disciples of the Lord.
Oh,
is how I would translate that. Or, yeah, because y'all are the disciples. It would be just y'all are disciples. Yeah, y'all are disciples of the Lord. And adelphoi ton apostolon, so brothers of the apostles, of him. Of him. So now we have to figure out where we're going to go. The chi clearly is joining then the like thought processes, and esta then is the assumed verb as well, right? And so y'all are disciples of the Lord and brothers of his apostles.
So you could say that?
What?
Now, what is the difference in saying, why wouldn't you use the genitive of brothers and have apostles? Why would you use of him, but yet still translate it, his apostles?
Because you are brothers of his apostles. Yeah. And so you are belonging to his apostles, but the apostles belong to him. So you have a hierarchical sequence happening there. Does that make sense? Brothers of apostles of him.
Okay.
And the him is who?
The Lord.
That points back to Kyrieu. Mm-hmm. And so you have two positions. You are disciples of the Lord and brothers of his apostles.
Okay, so it's still okay then to translate. I thought that since that of him was a separate word, that you had to translate it. That was emphasis, and you couldn't take it back in English to his apostles.
No, yeah, you should. Okay. If you're preaching it, if this is a major biblical point that you're preaching through, you would say that we have two characteristics as disciples, as believers. You know, we're disciples of the Lord and we're brothers of his apostles. You know, so you could spend a half an hour in each one and state why we're disciples and why. Good stuff. Anyways, all right, so 11. Hey, ecclesia, piste esten, hey, meis de bepalmen altain. Okay, and so, hey, ecclesia. Anyways, the church, or better, the assembly. Okay, the assembly, the congregation, the gathering. Okay. Piste esten. What's piste?
Faithful.
What case?
Feminine nominative.
Feminine nominative. We have another nominative. But again, it's because it's with esten, so therefore we have a predicate nominative. So now you have to decide, is it faithful ones that are the church or the assembly, or is it the assembly that is a faithful one? This is where word order potentially doesn't matter, Steve, so you got to figure out which one's which. Which would you say?
The assembly is faithful.
The assembly is faithful. Yeah, because otherwise you would say faithful is the assembly, and you basically have the same thing. But I would opt for, first of all, two thought processes here, okay? The first, I would take word order being important here, and so I would take the first word being the actual subject and the second being the predicate nominative. Secondly, if there is one that has the article with it, okay, that usually will be the main sentence, the main subject, okay? Thirdly, if there is an adjective that is being used substantively, then that generally will be used in the predicate position, like it would be just as an adjective. So it's predicate nominative. Does that make sense?
Say it one more time.
Okay, first, if everything else fails, okay, my first line of attack is going to be
the order,
okay? The second would be that if there is an article with one and not the other, then I would usually put, if it makes sense, then I would put the one with the article first. Okay? Again, context is going to govern that. Okay? Third, I would say that if there is an adjective, then more than likely that is being used substantively. So, like in the predicate position, that an adjective would be. And so I would put that in the predicate nominative position, in the noun itself, and the actual subject. Okay. Now, are there cases where none of those three is going to apply? Yes, but what's going to govern it? Context. Okay.
So if we go back to lesson five, where we did ha biblios kalos, we said that we would say that the book is good.
That's correct.
And so here we have he ecclesia piste, and that would be the church is faithful just by itself.
That's correct.
But after that we have eston, which
where you get the is.
Well,
but we
you don't need it. The point is that, right, because of the predicate. That's exactly right. That's why we call this predicate nominative.
Okay, but why would you write it with the eston when, as we were translating this, we were translating it with the same amount of words? I mean, what's the difference? Why would a writer write it with eston, and why would he write it just like that? What's the difference in that?
The main difference would be that being used as a predicate adjective, normally you're going to see verbs in a sentence as well. Okay? So, you can potentially write the same sentence either way. It's a writer's choice. Okay? It could be emphasis, but there are things that you can do with it being just an adjective. But the minute you put the eston in there, you're defining it as a sentence.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I mean, it's automatically defined as a sentence. You're going to join two like things now. But as a whole, it's just a different way to write the same thing.
Can you repeat that? I just missed it.
What's no, I'm sorry. I won't repeat. I don't repeat. I don't repeat myself. I don't repeat myself. I just don't repeat myself. No.
Not everything you said, but just
I know.
Get it right. I'm not sure what I got.
Marcia's question was, why, you know, back in lesson five we have the predicate adjective, and so therefore you have ha biblios kalos, so therefore the book is good. Okay, and so you have, in a sense, eston implied immediately into that. Why do we have to do it like this now? You know, what's the difference? In the overarching is it's just a different shades of the same thing.
I thought I had missed the translation because I'm
No. But the other side is that there are reasons to do it two different ways.
One is so you can practice your pronouns.
Amen. That's exactly right. But emphasis being primarily one, but it is more proper to use the AME verb. Okay. That'd be proper, like when you say proper English, proper Greek. Okay, so hey ecclesia, piste eston, hey mace de, blepomen, altain. So we have the de post positive again in the middle of a sentence, so therefore it is probably but or and. And so we see altain.
Her.
What's her?
The assembly.
Good. The assembly. See, again, you have two words in the feminine to go from, but the reality is piste is probably in the feminine because it's joined with. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So the church is faithful. The church is faithful, and we see it. We see it. There's an emphasis on the fact that we are the ones seeing it.
Referring to church or faithful.
Church. Yeah, we see it. Huh?
We could say her. Church is often considered a feminine.
Yes, you could say her. Yeah. You could do that. Okay, 13. Duloi esmen, dulus de, didaskomen. So duloi is servants or bond slaves, bond servants. Esmen is?
We are.
Good. So, I lost my place here. Okay, there we go. And we have the comma, and then we see de after dulus, which means that clearly those two words together were the sentence. So we are servants. Okay, is the first part of the sentence. We are servants. De and servants, we teach. So we are servants, and we teach servants. Bond slaves we are, and bond slaves we teach. Okay, and then 15, off. What's so off?
We are servants, and we teach.
Mm-hmm. Servants.
And we teach servants.
No.
Or you could say, we are servants, but we teach servants.
You could say that. Again, you become the interpreter because you say it's either and or but.
That's
but
way
after. Yeah, good.
Off is that there's they take off the omicron at the end, and then since the P is before a rough breather, it's ends of feet.
Good job. So it becomes off, like an afikomen. Good, okay? So off is actually apo, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? So so off humon. Humon is of y'all, of y'all. Okay? Lambane, he, she, or it receives or wait, takes.
So is that's plural?
What is? Humon?
Humon.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Genitive plural.
Genitive plural. Everything with an own on the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should be just a no-brainer at this point. Mm-hmm. You see own at the end, you think genitive plural. And for test and quiz points of view, if you ever get extra points, you know that there's the genitive plural. There's a circumflex over the omega. Hey, this is, I mean, these are free points, guys. Come on, you know. The rest of that you didn't, you may not know, but if there's one thing, genitive plural, that's a no-brainer. You know, you almost see the omega with the halo over it. You know, it's kind of, it's holy. The genitive plural is just.
This is helpful.
Anyway. Mama said you can always count on and that own and for that masculine genitive plural.
That's exactly right. Nobody should ever miss genitive plural. I mean, it's just. Never. All right, so off humon, okay? So from you, from y'all, the brother receives mu. Ah, good. Of me. So my brother, so of you, my brother receives dora, gifts, kala, good. Good gifts. It goes together. Okay. So, from you, my brother receives good gifts. Kai, and he sends, Pempe, he sends, Alta, them, good, pros, to me. He receives good gifts, and he sends them to me. I love the sentence.
Wait.
Yeah.
I messed that up. Sorry. He sends... And then ata?
Them. Ata is plural, right? Plural feminine. So it's pointing back to dora, or kala dora, or dora kala, the good gifts. Okay, so he sends the good gifts, if you would. He sends them to me. Dia, with the genitive, is through ton dulon, the servants, of him, his servants. So,
you don't have to say
all right. So my brother,
that makes a big difference.
My brother is receiving from you good gifts, or I would put my brother is receiving good gifts from you, and is sending them to me through his servants, or his servant. His servants, no servants.
Adjective, the kala there is a predicate adjective.
Kala. No, it is not a predicate adjective because there are no articles. No articles. So since there are no articles, remember, if there's no articles, tributive. If there was an article with dora, so if you have ta dora kala, he's receiving the gifts that are good. And see, that's where you would have the use of that in there, even though you already have a verb.
Well, when Mama
wait, Chris first.
Well, when Mama was doing it today, and she didn't realize, and then and it was.
Are you gonna make fun of your mom here? Don't do that. You're on tape. Honor funny. Your mother. Okay, go ahead.
Well, as she was going, is it houses or gifts?
I know. I thought it was house.
Dora.
Uh huh. I
And then I was like, how are they sending the house?
And then
it's an explorer, Dora the Explorer.
And then and she realized it was gift. And later she was like, the gift has bond service?
The gift has bond service? See, every gift has bond service.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Dawn.
Can it be correct to say, he receives from you, my brother, good gifts and sends them to me on account of his bond slave?
He receives from you, my brother. No.
True.
I could see how you would state that, though. That, but the you is y'all. It's plural. And so that would not be and it's but I could see how you would potentially take that prepositional phrase and do that. I would not have thought that way, but I could see how you would do that. And so immediately I would say, no, it can't be because of humon. But if it was singular, you know, then that could be a point of debate. You know, in that the reason it's worded like it is because the emphasis is that it is on you being my brother.
This is a lot like math.
I love math. Anyways.
So we're talking about
we'll see.
Humon is
genitive plural.
Plural.
Right. So therefore, it could not go with Adelphos, because Adelphos being singular. Unless your brother is really, really big. Or has multiple personalities.
And so, dia wouldn't be an account of because it's going with an accusative?
That's correct.
I mean,
that's correct. It would be through because of the genitive.
Genitive.
Okay. All right. Now.
And that's the gift that it's going with?
That is correct. It is pointing back to gifts. All right. Yes. Quiz time. All right. So, we've got to fly on the quiz so we have time to do the next lesson. And yes, you will be responsible for the lesson whether we have time or not. So, unless you thought, if I take a little bit longer on the quiz, we don't go through the next lesson, it doesn't happen anyway. Pass those along. Just to Miss Dawn, and then I'll go this way here. Sorry. I didn't do that very well. All right, let's see if I can figure out how to pause this. I've already grown, so you can look at it together, and I've grown together on it. There are 15 sentences instead of 8 as there was this week, okay? That's right. Plus, there's John 1, 1 to 11. But there are times in life when there is more translation work than other times. The reality is that things start ramping up a little bit at this point, and
the honeymoon is over.
Well, in some of the things, I mean, honestly, some of the things that were harder for you in the beginning should be easier for you now. Okay, I'm not asking you to parse. Okay, so that saves time, but sometimes the sentences are a little bit longer now, but. There are things that you should already have in your memory bank, okay, that should be there. I noted as I saw some of the quizzes coming by, and again, I'll grade those later. Some of you are probably struggling on vocab based upon translations. You've got to keep up with vocab, okay? You've got to keep up with vocab. You've got to keep up with paradigms and declensions. I mean, I know. That's why I said going into Greek, you know, that Greek takes time to learn, okay? So don't. It's not consumer math, okay? It's New Testament Greek, so you've got to make the time for it. So I would say that, you know, clearly we have an hour and a half in class. That means that you should be spending 3 hours outside of class on it, okay? So if you haven't been spending 3 hours, then you need to be spending. If you've been spending a little bit more, that's okay too. But 3 hours is probably a minimum that should be being focused on. Okay, so if
you spend 3 hours a day, and I still
yeah, good. Well, that's okay though. I understand. And honestly, in seminary, there were guys who flew through Greek, and it didn't, you know, didn't faze them at all. And there was other guys who spent hours and still just struggled and groaned. But it's a tool, you know, and sometimes it takes longer to learn a tool, how to use a tool for some than others. So, okay, lesson 9, we want to look at this real quick, okay, because there's, again, new things that are happening here. Lesson 9, we're on demonstrative pronouns. Okay, so you learned personal pronouns in the last one. These are demonstrative pronouns that we're going to learn this time, plus more vocab, and then some further uses of autos. Okay, agape, okay, is love. That's the selfless love, okay? Sometimes, for example, in King James, it's translated as charity. And if you remember from Tyndale's thing, well, I guess it was just a couple of us that were last night, but anyways, that was one of the things I didn't like about Tyndale is he translated it love rather than charity. Anyways, but the word agape is talks about a selfless love. Hamartia is sin. Okay, that's the noun for sin. Baptizo. You can see the translation, I baptize. That is wrong. That is a transliteration. Mation was a Presbyterian. anyways, the translation is I immerse. I dip, dunk, or immerse. That is what baptizo means. It just pains me when people do that.
So we're not allowed to use baptize.
No, do not put baptize. You can. You can. I don't care if you put baptize, but just... It is just good for us to know. I mean, it has become tradition to use the word baptized there, and we understand it in our ecclesiology, our doctrinal understandings. But yes, properly it would be to put immerse in there, I dip dunk or immerse. Didaskalos, we've had didasko. I teach. This is didaskalos. A teacher. So, didaskalos, didaskalo, right? Or didaskale, didaskalos, didaskale. A teacher teaches.
Does it come from didasko and kalos or what?
No. That's good. That's a good question. Didasko and kalos, a good teacher, a good teaching? I don't think so. I think it's just didaskalos. It was just the word. But who knows? There's a great pickup there. It could... somehow, some origin there. I never thought about it before. Akenos is a demonstrative pronoun. It's one of the ones we're going to talk about tonight. Is that. It is the pushing it away, that. In other words, we have these, talking about things that are close by, and that and those, the things that are away. Okay? Then we have ep and galia. Okay? Now, ep and galia is... from two words, epi and angelia, okay? It's a promise. Angelia is a message. Angelos is a message, right? And so it puts it together as a focused message, if you would, because the word epi kind of has that concept of focus there, to be on something, the epicenter. Epangelia is a promise. So just to give you an idea. Euangelion is not gospel. It's good message, good news. Okay? It is interpreted as gospel today because people who heard the good news in the Bretons were changed. And so the Bretons, when they, and I'm not saying Britain, funny way, they were actually called the Bretons before it became Britain. The Bretons were the tribes, and the Bretons thought that they were under a God spell. And so God spell became, over the year, derived as gospel, right? So those who received the good news, the Evangelion, became changed. And so they became under God spell. So that's how it became gospel. Krino, I judge. Noon is now. It's an adverb. And then we have the next of the demonstrative pronouns, houtos, ate, tata. Okay? And it's this. Okay? This and these, that and those. Okay? And then you have a word that can be confused sometimes with the demonstrative pronouns, and that's why it's thrown in here, and that is the word houtos. It is the word used in John 3:16 that many people translate as a form of expressiveness, magnitude, for God so loved the world. That's so wrong. Anyways, it means for God in this manner loved the world.
Thusly.
God thusly loved the world. God in this manner loved the world. And again, context is he's explaining, he's relating it back to the previous verses where it says, as the serpent was held up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Or as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For God in this manner loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It makes a whole lot more sense, doesn't it? And it is a great love. I don't mean to diminish God's love on that. It's just an improper interpretation. So, poneros is evil. It is an adjective, and so it can come in the masculine, feminine, or nominative. And then prosopon is the face. It can also mean in the presence of. Many times it is, you refer to something being in the face of somebody as being in the presence of somebody because they can look on you. Does that make sense? Okay, so it was what do you call those idioms. Thank you. Yeah, I knew there was an idiom there somewhere. Idiom.
To be in the face of somebody.
Yeah, so if you saw, sometimes if you see the phrase being in the face of somebody, it would be better to translate it as before him. Does that make sense? Because we refer to it, get out of my face, you know? And that's not really what it meant back then. He was in his face. And then Kara, like the girl's name we use sometimes, Kara is joy. Okay? And which is neat because the word charis is very similar to it and is the word for grace. But anyways, Kara. Okay, declensions. 102. Christopher, sorry.
Is it just an error then that right here it's got A and O instead of hey and ho?
No breathing.
No, it's not. Those are the endings of the pronoun, not the articles. Okay, remember pronouns are like adjectives in that they're going to show you the endings, not the articles. Okay, and the reason they don't do that for autos is because, as we're going to see here, that even the it's not just the endings that change, the whole stem changes. Okay, and so paragraph 102 then does the declension of houtos. The best way to look at this is that the ones that have the omicron endings have the omicron stems. The ones that have the alpha eta endings have the alpha stems. Do you get it? So masculine has os, u, o, on, all the omicron type endings, right? So therefore it's houtos, tuto, tuto, tutu, tuto, tuton, and then utoi, tutone, tutois, tutus. Okay, and same thing with the nominative, the neuter, okay? And so the neuter kind of has the endings that it normally has anyway, okay? But its stems will have the ta on the whole way, and it has the omicron upsilon. Whereas the feminine will have the alpha upsilon because it has the eta endings. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the easy way to remember it. Okay, that's what goes with what, okay? Now, 103 talks about kainos. It doesn't have the paradigm for it, but that's because it says, straight up the bat, it says that kainos is like the declension of the adjectives. So if you know the endings from the adjectives, you just throw it on a cane, okay? So a cane goes for masculine, feminine, and neuter. It doesn't change like the word for this. Does that make sense? Okay.
Great.
Okay. You can see the exception, that's right, in the second line, it says, except that a kena stands instead of a kenan in the nominative accusative singular neuter, okay? And that's more, kind of, is more of the noun ending concept.
I do that a lot.
Okay, you can see the use, okay, I'm going to keep moving here because we have time. The paragraph 104, the use of hutas and ekenos, okay, used frequently with the nouns. When they are so used, the nouns with they used has the article, and they themselves stand in the predicate, not in the attributive position. So you have the example, this word, hutas ha lagas, or ha lagas hutas, okay, so this word. It gets rid of the. So it's not this the word or the word this. It's this word. Okay? Because the reason there is that it's a specific word. Does it make sense? And that's what the article is really showing. The article shows that it's a definite word. And so, but this is used being used demonstratively to not just say that it's a definite word, but it's actually this very word. Okay? And so you have other illustrations there with akenos, that word, akenos halagas, and halagas akenos. I see this church, okay, so blepo, I see, tautein, tein, ekklesion, okay, so this the church, okay, and then these words, hutoi, hoi, lagoi, or hoi, lagoi, hutoi. Anyways, you get the idea there, okay? Sometimes as well, they're used by themselves, substantively, okay, in a substantive position. And so it's just this one, this man, this woman. Again, since you know the masculine, feminine, and neuter, you can assume, if you choose to, one or the other. However, again, as we talked about before, masculine many times is used generically. So if you have masculine singular, probably it's a man. Masculine plural, you don't know if it's a group of men or if it's just a group of people. Make sense? Okay, so that's just exactly right, context. So however you want to do it. Again, if you don't know, it's men as a whole, put it generic, make it generic. Okay, that's the hutas and the kenos. Now, further uses of atas, which is our word for he, she, or it, remember? Okay, it can also mean, remember we talked about this coming into it, it can also mean same, the same. And so you can see, number one, it has an intensive use when it's used in the predicate position. Okay, then it's going to be himself or itself or herself. So autos ha apostolos, or ha apostolos autos, the man himself. Okay, it's the pronoun him. So him, the man.
The apostle?
Or the apostle. Him, the apostle. So the apostle himself. Okay? Number two, when it's used in the attributive position, it means the same. And so, again, it's sitting between the article and the noun. So, going back to the homework that we talked about today, if there are no articles, it's attributive. Make sense? Okay? So here we have ha, autos, apostolos. It's the same apostle, okay? And you see the or, because there's an article with the pronoun as well, okay? Like it would be with the adjective. And so the pronoun is being used adjectivically, if you would, at this point. And then finally, it can be used intense when it's used with another pronoun. And so you have autos, ego, lego. And so, I, myself, say, okay, which is different than the ego a me. So now we have the form. Remember I said we were going to talk about that tonight afterwards. There is a form to emphasize I, myself. And this would be it, using the autos with it. Okay, next page for me, anyways, I don't know what it is for you, paragraph 106, there is a listing. I suggest you mark this page. You will continually come back to this page for months. Okay? I continually go back to this page. years later. Okay? Hopefully, one of these times coming up when we start doing more verbs, I'll give you a Luo chart. I don't know if I have this chart on this the back of this yet. I need to get it on here, though. Anyways, and so this is all the verbs and such you're going to be learning this year. Okay, remember, I told you that we've only did this one little segment up here. Okay, so that's all you've done so far. That's why I said it ratchets us up from this point, okay? But what I like to do is on the back side, I like to put all my extra little ditties. So I have just a reference sheet here. And I can still read it with my reading glasses. And so it's all here, but I have the demonstrative pronouns on here. I'm surprised that I don't have this listing, but I need to put that listing down in here. And so at some point when I figure out how I'm going to be able to print on the, I might just take them to Office Max because neither of the printers I have right now are printing on cardstock. Anyways, I'll make you copy
them. I can
do
it if you send me a PDF.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll send you PDFs, and then you can just make cardstocks of them. And then you can three-hole punch it, stick it in a notebook. It is a great source. One day I'll copyright it and make millions of dollars with all these Greek students wanting to. So,
Both of them.
No. I mean, in all the seminaries and everything else. Because it's generic. And, you know, I could put Mation paragraph numbers on it, but honestly, anymore, there are so many different texts out there and things that people use to learn. So it's just, and I even have the accenting rules for those who really care. Anyways. Not now. Okay. All right. So that paragraph is going to be one that you really want to come back to. All right. Now, again, you have 1 through 10. Okay. 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. Okay. So I'm going to do something I usually don't do. Let's look at number 1. Okay. That got everybody's interest. Boy, that was some people moving quick. I meant in the next chapter, though. No, okay. All right. You ready? Hutoi hoi didaskaloi. Krenusin aton ton apostolon. Okay? Hutoi is one of our new words. Okay? It's from hutas, meaning this. And so this is plural, masculine plural. And so it talks about these ones, right? These. But it's sitting with hoi didaskaloi. So this is where I'm going to go to paragraph 106. And I'm going to say, oh, what does that mean? So I'm going to come over here to 106, and I'm going to see that the third thing down has hutas halagas. And I say, yes, that's the form. And so that means this word over there. So don't translate it as this word because it doesn't mean this word. Paragraph 106, the third grouping down, where it says hutas halagas. I can see that it's that format, that form. So it must mean this, or since it's plural, these at this point. So it's these, the disciples, or really these, I'm sorry, teachers. These teachers, the didaskaloi. Okay? So these teachers, krenusin, okay? Krenusin was our word krino, meaning to judge, I judge. So usi, oase, omen eta usi. So it's third person plural, they judge. So these disciples, I don't want to give students disciples. These teachers judge altan. Altan. Ton apostolon. I remember now that I can't just say him because now what does it mean when it's with the noun? So I come back over to paragraph 106 and I look to see, the fifth one down is altas halagas, and that means the word itself. And so that has that form, and so I'm going to say then it means these teachers judge, or are judging, if you like to put that. These teachers judge the apostle himself. So the teachers are judging the apostle himself. That is an interesting find, isn't it? Okay, does everybody get that, though? Okay, that's why that paragraph 106 is going to be...
How did you find the last one?
It is the fifth one down. You can see, I'm looking down this thing right here, and I'm just looking for that second column. I'm looking for a form that is like it in my sentence. And so I have altas halagas. I have the alta verb or pronoun with an article and then a noun. And so therefore it's that format, and so I use that format, meaning this something or other, or these whatevers.
So he said these teachers judge the apostle himself.
Yes, these teachers are judging or judge the apostle, singular, himself. Okay, everybody get that? Okay, that's the concept, okay? Now, the reason why there's so many sentences then is because you can see all these concepts are coming together right here, okay, with the personal pronouns, demonstrative pronouns, and all that, all the different uses. And so the reason why there's so many sentences to translate is because I had to try to make sure that you're getting the concept of that. So you can do your collective groans and moans, and just remember, you're not paying for it. This is all free. You're torturing yourself freely. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you again for your word. Lord, the Greek language is as hard as the English language is for those who don't speak English. And Lord, I pray that you would help the ones here that are struggling right now. I pray that that you give them a gift of languages, Lord, that you'll give them a special manifestation of your grace and grace gift, the charisma, and that they will be able to learn, they will be able to comprehend, they will be able to digest, and to be able to use, Lord, this understanding, this language, for your glory and for the teaching of your word, for the betterment of their own studying and edification and feasting upon the truth of your word. We're thankful for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.